Good morning, listeners. Welcome to KKXX Christ Today. Today we have a very fine guest, the station manager of KKXX.
Good morning.
Good morning, Andrew. Welcome to the Christ Today show. And what we want to do today is you are the station manager. Because we had so many different conversations and heard you have other conversations with other station managers, we wanted to give you an opportunity to go ahead and tell us a little bit about what you do, because a lot of people that are out there that are listening may be interested in what it is you do that makes the ministries run so smoothly, but at the same time, maybe, you know, gives some of those maybe a little encouragement about, gee, that's pretty interesting. I've never thought of that before. Let's go ahead and first start out with, would you please describe your job a little bit of what it is that a station manager does?
Okay, well, that's a good question. I think it probably changes a little differently with every city. You know, there's different stations and different styles. For Chico, we're kind of a smaller town. So somebody in my position, I kind of get every job in the book. So I'm doing, if you send us an email, I'll be the one replying to your email. If you call us, I'll most likely be the person on the other end of the phone. And I also enjoy climbing our radio towers, filing documents with the government, and just general operations and planning. And so from A to Z, I like to at least be aware of what's going on, and a lot of times I'm directly involved.
Ooh, so, that's fun. Climbing those towers? I can't imagine.
Yeah, it's one of the funnest experiences, but it's kind of the opposite idea, skydiving.
So how long have you been doing that?
Which part?
The station manager.
I've been here in Chico for about 10 years, so I came up in 2006.
Now, where did you come from?
Southern California. My grandpa ran a network of stations down there, and my grandpa was actually one of the co-founders of Family Radio.
Wow, that's very cool.
So a lot of people will know Family Radio as the end of the world company that decided that May 21st was the end of the world a few years back.
All right.
But they do have, in the middle of that, they did have some good Bible teaching, and we still have a lot of friends and business partners that either worked for or still work at Family Radio. Their fearless leader, Harold Camping, passed on a few years back after having a stroke, which some of us felt may have been God's judgment for him pronouncing the end of the world.
Well, you know, that's part of Scripture is, you know, let's not judge before the appointed time, and only mm-hmm. God the Father knows the appointed time. Even Christ Jesus was very, very specific that says even the Son does not know at what time the Father is going to go ahead and ask him to come back for his church. But let's go ahead and talk about the current KKXX. What are some of the ministries that you're dealing with now that you have currently on the air?
Well, just about all the main ministries that you think of: Insight for Living, Dr. Dobson, Through the Bible with J. Vernon McGee, Focus on the Family are just a couple of them. We have programs like Compassion Radio that we run at 4:30 in the morning and then again in the evenings. We have local programming, Chico Now, Live Local Talk, a real estate program we do at 2:30, and then we run Today's Homeowner on the weekend on Saturday and Sunday. People that are working on their houses, or just to give you something interesting to listen to.
Oh, okay.
And we even have a Catholic program at 5:30
okay.
during the week.
So let me ask a question, and you may have already answered this question. My original question was going to be, what came first, Christ or the career? Obviously, you grew up as a Christian.
I did, yeah. I accepted Christ at 5 years old, and then I was baptized at 16. And otherwise, I just grew up in the Christian faith. My grandpa was always running a Christian radio station of some kind. He split off from Family Radio back in the 80s. The first time that Harold Camping tried to start naming dates for the end of the world. But it was also one of my grandfather's biggest regrets in life, is that he didn't do enough to try to stop Harold Camping from taking the whole ministry and going a completely different direction with it, which is a sad point because my grandpa trusted so much in the structure of a nonprofit. He built Family Radio in a way so that whoever had majority control would have complete control of the nonprofit. He didn't give himself any any bigger vote than anyone else. And so we like to think of ourselves as doing the work here at KKXX. We do the work of a nonprofit, but we don't have the board or political requirements that are placed upon us as far as not talking about politics. And we're also able to help promote small business and spur on efforts in the community where a nonprofit wouldn't be allowed to even enter into some of those discussions.
So the structure there where you are technically a for-profit institution, but you're dealing in nonprofit ministries.
We are. It's just because it's a lot simpler that way. There's a heck of a lot less paperwork. We don't have to have a monthly board meeting. And then we don't have to worry about, like, in my grandpa's situation where the board voted him out. He had given the nonprofit status complete control, and the board decided the majority rules, and they wanted to go towards the naming dates for the end of the world side. So we don't have that same danger. We have we have a board, but it's not where just one person can vote and say, let's go to this crazy direction.
Yeah, and those boards for all nonprofits, I've noticed that those boards, and we spoke a little bit offline, it can really depend on what the motivation is of the individuals or even a small group of individuals. If their motivation is not about the service that is called for by Christ, they can take any ministry off into the weeds somewhere.
And I think we're really happy operating kind of as a parachurch organization where we're not limited in what we can discuss. There's a lot of issues that a church pastor cannot bring up on Sunday morning, but they can listen to it here. They can hear stories. Focus on the Family will carry stories of people that came out of the homosexual lifestyle and the process that God led them through to transform their life. Whereas a pastor on Sunday morning, that probably wouldn't be appropriate to talk about. And the nonprofit status would probably tell them you're not allowed to talk about it because it's specifically right now, a gender identity issue, which is real big in the news.
Well, that's the problem, I think, with the enemy is they have gotten to a point where they're trying to politicize everything.
And it works.
And it seems to work because now even our daily language seems to have a language Nazi, on every corner saying, well, you can't say that. What are you saying?
And I think there's an appropriate amount of that. We should be careful that we're not being hateful or overly judgmental. And I don't think that's the heart of Christ. And unfortunately, because we're always being attacked on every front by the media, sometimes Christians get defensive and then we're interpreted as being hateful and judgmental. When actually we're the complete opposite of that.
Well, absolutely. And that's really the scheme of the devil because he is called in the book of Revelation the accuser of the brethren, okay? Well, how does he get to be an accuser of the brethren? He is throwing up those things that tempt and tempt and tempt and tempt and tempt. And as soon as we take the bait...
Exactly.
He says, aha! See, I told you, And thank God for the blood of Christ that washes away our sins, that cleanses us before the throne, that we can be in God's presence because he is a consuming fire, the Bible says. And we can't be in his presence if we have sin. We have to have the blood of Christ Jesus that cleanses us. So let me ask a couple other questions because we talked offline a little bit, and it took me a little bit by surprise. So... you wear a number of different hats as station manager, and one of them being a quasi-engineer. And because everything has changed and is now so computerized, you no longer have to have an FCC license.
That's correct. Yeah, since like 1993, there have been no tests to become an FCC engineer and no license, no special requirements, which is a good thing in a lot of ways because they've opened it up. I think they called it something like deregulation. But which has allowed a lot of radio stations to operate for the most part on computers without a live person behind the scenes.
So what would you suggest somebody study? If they're looking to, be involved in radio these days, should they be studying more from a computer tech standpoint?
I would recommend in a lot of aspects that they at least be comfortable with computers. But that would be pretty much any job out there. You have to know how to do Excel spreadsheets and type up Word documents and schedule events and do basic computing tasks, because every job is being slowly taken over or assisted by computer systems. And yeah, knowing how to set up a network, knowing how to interface a computer with a printer, something basic like that, is absolutely necessary.
Well, absolutely. And myself, my own experience coming from the standpoint of education, mm-hmm. We see a lot of things going online these mm-hmm. days, and where you have something that is downloaded from, let's say, YouTube or
right.
Some type of a lecture series or some type of other voice over IP for an active web-based conferencing or something like that. It's all internet now.
And that's a good point that you're touching on, and I do hear that quite a bit when I'm calling on churches, which is that a lot of churches have assumed that because they have a digital presence or a website with their sermons, that that's an easy enough way for people to listen. And it's at least not in today's world is that the case. Like, you'll have a website with an archive of every sermon, but you're not actually directing people to go there, and it's not as open as if we just pick. What I do is I'll sit behind the scenes and pick that sermon off the website and then rebroadcast it over the air, which gives it an immediate audience, whereas it could sit in your archive for a year and nobody would just go through and search for that certain date and play the sermon. So, but one day it will be probably the majority of listening will happen through internet-based equipment, but that could be 15 or 20 years down the road.
Well, absolutely. And what we're talking about here is demographics. The radio station is still the primary instrument of information for some of the older demographics. The people that are growing up, they're teenagers today. Yeah, they're pretty comfortable with the digital world, and if it's not digital, in many cases, it's not going to hit their cell phone or it's not going to hit their computer.
I think we're seeing a lot of that leads also to burnout, where technology is being overused so much that people get desensitized to it. Back to the example of the church website, the difference that we have as a radio station is there's only a couple dozen radio stations in Chico, but you'll have millions, especially when you open yourself up to the World Wide Web. You'll have millions of churches literally competing with different sermons on different topics. So if someone in Chico is looking for a sermon, 99% of the time they're not going to find you, because you've just put yourself in this marketplace with millions of other churches. When you're on the air with a radio station, you're part of maybe 12 or 14 stations in the market, and that increases your odds dramatically that someone will actually hear the sermon, because they don't have to weed through a million other churches online to find yours.
Well, absolutely. And correct me if I'm wrong, we've never had a radio station that has ever given anybody's radio a virus.
No, absolutely not. There have been a few scams, or maybe a commercial that didn't turn out to be so hot, or somewhere, a drama that played out, like the Orson Welles drama, where they took it seriously and thought the world was being invaded by aliens. But besides that, the only downfall of radio is that maybe people trust it too much and assume that we're untouchable.
Well, and getting back to Orson Welles a little bit, I mean, that was an example of maybe a population that gave too much credence to a particular radio event. And yet, decades later, he is celebrated. Mm. As isn't that an amazing, indication, sign of just how powerful information is when it seems to be coming from a place of authority?
And I would say it's a big responsibility, and we have to be careful that we're not broadcasting on the radio in order to promote our pet doctrines or certain beliefs from one denomination. We try to be completely non-denominational, and in a lot of aspects, I would say we're anti-denomination, in the sense we're not trying to just promote one denomination and say this is the only Baptists make it to heaven, or only people that worship on Saturdays, even though we carry both of those kinds of programming, and we sympathize a lot with people that worship on a Saturday or that might be Baptists or Mormons or Lutherans or Jehovah's Witness or whatever they think they are. But if they can find Christ through the radio, that's where they, and that's where they're going to be open enough to hear the gospel. That's why we proclaim that to them, without trying to be harsh towards one belief or the other. Because, and not to say that there aren't beliefs that are incorrect, but it's just not our job necessarily to make it a big deal. We want to bathe people in the Word and let the Holy Spirit do the work.
Well, absolutely, and that is actually scriptural. As a matter of fact, Philippians chapter 1 says, starting on verse 15, it says, "Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition and not sincerely, I'm sorry, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter, out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice." And that's what we should be rejoicing. We should not be rejoicing at our differences. We should be rejoicing that Christ is preached and souls are being saved.
And we don't share a lot in common with the Jehovah's Witness, for example, but I always find myself, when they come to the door and they're diligent enough to do what's within their power to spread the gospel, I find myself looking at them and thinking that they're doing at least a good work by getting the name of Christ out there. Even if some of their doctrines are wrong, there's a lot of Christian churches where we're not even talking to our neighbors.
Well, absolutely. And that's one of our challenges, is to try and challenge the Christian community. That's why we want to take Christ to the airwaves of Chico and Paradise and the surrounding areas. We want to go ahead and proclaim Christ and proclaim it in a way that the Christian community will start to, how should we say, put themselves out. I mean, really energize themselves and take the message of Christ beyond the four walls of the church. We can't just sit in the pew and hope people show up.
No, you can't. And that's one of the great benefits of being on the air, is that we can take the same gospel, the same scriptures, the same word that's preached on a Sunday morning, and we can instantly double the size of your congregation by broadcasting that over the airwaves to whoever might be in their cars or truckers or shut-ins or anybody in every aspect of life is able to be reached by those radio signals, which were originally started by being spoken inside of four walls of a building. But then they were rebroadcast over the air, where anyone in this county, in the city, Paradise, from all the way from Sacramento to Redding almost, can hear that sermon.
And while you're traveling, if anyone is going through Gridley, please have a look at Lighthouse Tabernacle and talk to Pastor Hammond. He has a Sunday service. It begins at 10:45 a.m. on Sundays, and you will enjoy it. So, thank you. Andrew, PromQuest, we are very much enjoying your interview. Welcome back, listeners.
And thank you for that word from our sponsors. Andrew, we just ended the first segment by talking about taking pastor sermons from around the county and broadcasting them on air, even if they have a web-based presence, mm-hmm. taking them to a totally different dimension and reaching a totally different audience. Let's go ahead and go on and talk a little bit more about how you accomplish that.
Okay, well, we like to think of ourselves at KKXX as being Miracle-Grow for the body of Christ, in that we can't create or change or have an influence on what you're doing inside your church building. All we can do is add to it. And some pastors, when I'm talking to them, I'll tell them that they can think of it in their mind as a way to outsource some of their ministry and their evangelism efforts. So even if all the church does is meet on Sunday for half an hour and we record that sermon and run it somewhere during the week or maybe the next weekend, that church is now evangelizing the lost. If all they've done is meet for half an hour on Sunday, they don't have any midweek Bible studies, they don't have any other Bible studies during the week, just the fact that the word is going out, well, there will be an impact. And we know that's scriptural. The scripture says that the word will not return void. And so, and that works for the big mega churches and the small churches of 10 or 12 people. if they can rebroadcast their services, they are now an evangelical church reaching the lost, even if everyone inside the building on Sunday has already been saved.
Absolutely. And you know, we have some churches around that have some absolutely terrific worship teams. We also have some pastors that are so knowledgeable of the Word. And you know, again, you may have an audience that listens to Christ spoken from many different denominational, doctrinal aspects. And it's like eating chicken. Eat the meat and throw out the bones. If there's something that doesn't meet with your doctrine, that's fine. But if there is, as long as we're not getting into a place of confusion, it's an opportunity for spiritual growth.
Really is. And I believe that that's why Scripture says iron sharpens iron. I don't think that we're supposed to categorize every little difference in Scripture and split off into a little separate denomination where we're totally isolated from the rest of the body. Some of those debates need to happen inside the church. And through the airwaves, we're able to be that open marketplace of ideas where we can have different pastors from different churches even debating an issue or at least bringing it opening it up to the community so the community can understand what exactly the church believes instead of just putting the church in a box, which we tend to do, which is to label that church and say, well, for instance, the Churches of Christ believe that instrumental worship is of the devil. You know, that's one stereotype that's out there. And I never knew that until I went to talk to a Church of Christ pastor. And he said, well, just so you know, we don't believe in instrumental worship. And I asked him to explain to me what that means. And what that meant to him was that they worship the same way as the first disciples worshiped Jesus. And at that time, they didn't have a drum or bass guitar or guitar or piano or any of that. You know, they don't even practice traditional hymns. Everything is a cappella. But there's a way that you can kind of prejudice and, that church believes that all instrumental worship is of the devil. Or this church over here, they believe that if you worship on Sunday, then that's the mark of the beast. You know, so we have different, but we just kind of categorize, and that's the enemy. We accept it in the Christian community, but we don't realize that all those little labels are the enemy trying to keep us apart. The same way with the Tower of Babel, how God separated all the nations. If we're united as the body of Christ, there's so much more power in that than if we're all separated into our own little factions.
Very good.
That's what the radio station gets to do, is to bring the body of Christ together and in a way to where we can unite people and then support ministries and support churches and get pastors with good teaching on the air so people know they have good teaching and not just the 12 people that might come on Sunday. Mm-hmm. But the whole community can start talking about, hey, have you heard Pastor Bob? Hey, have you heard this pastor over here? Did you know the Gateway Calvary Chapel is on KKXX? And that's, it's just a really positive thing for the community, even if nothing else happens other than people are talking about it.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Just beginning that discussion and opening the dialogue for people to talk about what is Christ or why is this radio station doing this or why is this church partnering in community outreach in this way?
Absolutely. And frankly speaking, I've talked with representatives from some of the denominational churches, and they have the same type of relationship with several of the secular stations that mm-hmm. are around the area. And because they're for-profit, they know that some of their listening audience is going to enjoy a message or, you know, some conversation that has a biblical standard to it. And they readily have adopted several churches to accomplish that in the local area. There's no reason that we should not go ahead and take advantage of the same technology on a more broad scale.
So. Oh, that's absolutely correct. And I think technology is always a benefit to those that adapt early. And so that's something that we're always doing here. We're trying to get more information and deliver it in a better way, quicker, faster. And we don't have to spend money like a TV studio or the newspaper where we have all this product coming in and out that we're disposing of materials every day, like paper or trees or whatever. We can actually get you the information in a split second way, where a pastor can call me and 30 minutes later I'm announcing it on the air, or we can record him on the phone and now the whole community is aware this event is going on. instantaneously, where you don't have to go get your makeup and hair done and get ready for the TV studio. So it's a very seamless thing. It's a very affordable thing, and we've always run a budget here at KKXX. We've run a budget that is no debt. So they've never taken out debt on this station. This was actually the first station in our network back in 1968. And they took what they were able to acquire through KKXX. This station built stations all across the country. So they're based on partnerships that they made with ministries like Focus on the Family. They built networks over in Santa Cruz, Monterey, in Las Vegas, in Texas, in Florida, upstate New York. And our company, through a couple of different partnerships, we are the only company that does direct business with K-Love and Air One, because we have gone through to the government and licensed these stations in such a way that we can then broadcast K-Love on a station that we own, and it gives them that much more impact. But that all started here in Chico. This was the very first station in our company. And it's kind of a nice place to be. And sometimes we say that's the only reason why we're here is because we were that first station.
Let me ask a little bit about the funding, because you're mentioning other stations that and I've been listening to other types of, especially the national stations, where you have a national network of stations. And they will take, for instance, a particular week and do fundraising. What's the fundraising like here for KKXX? Do you guys take a week off and do fundraising?
We don't do any organized pledge drive. So what we do is people will support the ministries that are on the air. And a lot of times those ministries will help underwrite the program. At the same time, we'll have business owners or churches, church groups or small groups that come forward and will sponsor their pastor to be on the air for 30 minutes. And the basic economics of the matter is we're kind of like long distance. We charge them $1 per minute, no matter what the sermon is about or no matter which church it is. It's $1 a minute. Saturday and Sunday, for instance, would be $60. And we'll tell them for that amount, a lot of times it's cheaper than printing the weekly bulletin, and they can rebroadcast their sermon to easily double the amount of people that could fit in their congregation on a Sunday morning.
So let's say that there is a listener out there, and let's say that they listen to several different ministries on the air, and they want to support these. Do they support them by sending a donation to the station or to the actual minister?
Most of the time we would recommend that they support the church directly or support the ministry, and then that ministry will just reimburse us for the cost. Basically, a dollar a minute is about enough for us to pay the PG&E bills and pay our property taxes and all the other associated costs with running a radio station. And we hope that maybe have a little bit left over for expanding into future markets. And maybe one day in the future we might reach Sacramento. But that's basically how the economics of it work. And I've thrown around the idea just because everyone else in our city is increasing their prices, that maybe a dollar a minute is too cheap. Maybe we'd have more churches that work with us if we were charging something like Facebook or Google might charge to promote your church.
Well, it certainly, and you know, it is important for those who are out being fed spiritually to provide material means also back to the actual ministry. I do know that there are a number of very, very large ministries that will point blank tell people, do not send your tithe to us. You send your tithe to the local church. If you want to give us a love offering, then fine, give us a love offering, you know, something like that. But for those people that's the only feeding they get, let's say that they work on Sundays or they work, you know, when they would normally have an opportunity to be fed and to be ministered to in a congregation, if the only ministering that they get is by radio, then they should step forward and at least help those guys, foot the bill.
Of course, and there's nothing better than getting a phone call from a church saying that they got a donation in the mail. And I think that too often there are people that are right on the edge. You know, the Holy Spirit has put it on their heart. They opened up their checkbook and they're about to mail it, and just something comes up. They get distracted with life, and it doesn't happen. And either the ministry goes under. I was talking to a pastor's wife last week that said that their church just met for the last time. And they're looking for a new church home, and they don't know anything about churches in Chico because they've always ran their own church. But sometimes it's that $10 donation that gives the church the reason to continue to meet and just pushes them through to that next week and say, well, you know, we're going to close up the doors today, but we got a donation in, and it seems like maybe this might work. Maybe the word's still going out. Maybe we can keep the faith and meet for another week. But it is hard because most churches are being operated on a profit and loss statement like a business. And not that that doesn't work, but it just makes it hard for the other churches in town that are trying to operate more by the Spirit.
Well, absolutely. And you know, the key is a lot of times is that waiting, that, I think I'll go ahead and sit on this. I'll go sleep on this, or I'll do the, you know. Thank goodness David didn't do that with Goliath. He grabbed his stones and he ran to the battle. He ran toward Goliath. He didn't sit down and you know, sip tea and say, well, let's think about this a little bit. He knew that thinking was going to get in the way.
And Scripture seems to be very clear in a lot of places where it says that where your money is, that's where your heart is. And as much as Christians, I think it would be nice if we didn't ever have to talk about money. For some reason, there's some value spiritually. We attach value to our dollars, and there's only two ways to go. Either you're giving your money and putting it in God's hands, or you're using it to build yourself some kind of an idol or something else you can trust in more than God. And that's with every dollar, not just the 10%. But if you're using the majority of your money to build for yourself an idol, then you should go back and reevaluate where your heart really is. Is it in this $2 million yacht, or is it in this, you know, insane retirement account with more money than you could ever spend? Or is your heart with God? And forget the ideas of building a big church or starting, you know, maybe God told you to be the next Goodwill or something. But just go with reaching your neighbor or reaching your local area. You know, give a couple dollars or something to somebody that's in need, or a single mom that maybe just had a baby and needs a stroller. You know, it's not the big battles are not fought. It's the small battles that we need to overcome. The Holy Spirit will nudge you in little small ways, and just say, you know, I got you. You have $1 million Roth IRA. You're taken care of. Now trust me with $10. Trust me with this small amount. Trust me by volunteering your time. You know, and if you say no to the Holy Spirit because you say that's just $10, do you know how much money I have? You know, volunteering my time, you know, I'm retired. I have more time than I have money. But people will write it off, and then the Holy Spirit stops nudging you, and then you wonder why you're so sad or depressed, or why you have to go to the doctor to get on pills to be happy. Because God was trying to get you involved in something small, and that something small was going to build into something huge. But that's why Scripture will also tell us to not despise humble beginnings, because everything big starts small.
Absolutely. And we are told directly by Jesus, render unto Caesar those things that are Caesar's, and unto God those things that are God's. So if the Holy Spirit is nudging you, then to you know, resist that nudge of the Holy Spirit, you're not rendering unto God what belongs to God, and that is obedience and faithfulness.
And it's not that it's necessarily good or bad, or that God will write you off if you make the bad, you know, we all make choices, I think, where we felt nudged and we decided to go the other way. But, and that God always has the opportunity for us to come back and start over and try again. But we just need to evaluate ourselves and evaluate our heart condition and say, is my heart getting hard to the needs of this world? Is my heart, am I not actually allocating my resources in a way that the gospel's going out? Am I spending more time to get a bigger flat screen TV or to get an extra vacation home? And we see a lot of that with people just here locally, that they just come into millions of dollars, or even a small settlement of money in a car accident or something. All of a sudden they have $50,000 with nowhere to put it. And really quick, they find somewhere to put it. And most of the time it's not in ministry. And I'm not saying that for our own benefit. The radio station doesn't need to be the benefactor of your life insurance. But just to put it into some kind of eternal place where it will have value and worth, and where it won't like Scripture says, where moth and rust destroy and the thief breaks in to steal, if you put your finances in something eternal, then you will have that. It'll outlive your Roth IRA. It'll outlive your one-time cash settlement.
Well, and there are two scriptures specifically that speak to this. Galatians 6:7 says, do not fool yourself. Do not kid yourself. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Okay? If he sows to the flesh, then of the flesh he'll reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, then of the Spirit he'll reap everlasting life. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9, somewhere around verse 6 says, he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he who sows abundantly shall reap abundantly. Now, if you put those two together, he who sows to the flesh abundantly or bountifully will reap corruption bountifully. Hmm. He who sows to the Spirit bountifully will of the Spirit reap bountifully those things of eternal life. And so if you're going to be chintzy, with what meat you measure, that you can plan on God measuring back to you. If you are a complete heathen, you can plan on God, you know, returning, you know, an abundance of corruption your way. And it's not God's going to be corruption. It's not God that supplies the corruption. All he does is gets out of your way and lets
totally
the world
does.
Take care of business.
Right, and it's more a condition of your heart, and your heart's going to want what it wants. And if you harden your heart to spiritual things, you're going to naturally go more towards corruption. That's how that equation works out.
Exactly. Nobody stands still. You're either growing or you're not growing. Okay? And by not growing, either you're growing or you're backsliding.
We're having a great interview here on Christ Today. We are interviewing Andrew Palmquist. And this section is brought to you by the New Life Church in Oroville. And this is Pastor Malone's Sunday service that you might want to go to. It's at 10 a.m. Sunday, and 10:30 a.m. Sunday, and 6 p.m. on Sunday. It's a great service. So, welcome back. Mike Davis, please continue with our interview.
So, Andrew, I know that you can't speak of everything that KKXX has for the future. Where do you see a portion of this ministry going? Let's say that this does, let's say, and hopefully, that in the near future, that we will have some pastors that take advantage of being able to reach out by way of radio, and they want to go ahead and have a future ministry that, you know, uses radio as the medium. But let's say that they lack an IT guy. They don't have anybody who's computer savvy. How do they begin?
Well, we like to specialize in working with churches on a multiple of different levels. So whether it's mailing us a CD or dropping off a USB flash drive with the sermon from the last Sunday, or if they have a little portable recorder, some pastors will record their services and then drop off the recorder and pick it up the next week. Or they can email me the service, you know, attach it to an email, or we can pull it from their website. So in any, and we like to do it in such a way that it's not an extra burden on the church, as because we know that the ministry is already stretched as it is. And so it's almost something where you can literally sign up to do radio sermons and almost forget that there's any added burden to your staff. So either we will automatically pick it up, you drop the CD in the mail to us, or you'll find a way to get us that sermon. You know, even if we picked it up live on the internet or something, we're always open to carrying a live church service, which we've done in the past for different local churches. And I'd love to see a Bible study group or a youth group that does something innovative with radio. But maybe they do a social media campaign that ties in the radio feed, or they do something in their small group where they're asking for prayer, and you have the whole community of believers coming together and praying for this one little small group that meets on Wednesday nights. You know, the options are limitless, and I believe the body of Christ and the Holy Spirit in general would desire that we utilize this resource to its fullest potential. And just looking at the average 24-hour day and then looking at the average 30-minute Sunday sermon, we can broadcast, if we partner with a church, we can broadcast that in that church's entire year's worth of sermons in one day. That's how much word we can have going out over the airwaves. Is it the what would take a pastor a year to say in a pulpit, we could broadcast back-to-back sermons and get the whole message of each of those sermons broadcast in its entirety in a single day. And if that would help move the body of Christ forward that much, if you get a year's worth of good, solid Bible teaching in one day, then what are we doing the next day? A whole nother year's worth of solid Bible teaching and continuing to move the body of Christ forward to where we're not stuck for years and years debating the same issues and kind of going around in circles about what is faith, what is God, what is love, what is faith, what is remembrance, how do we love, and just going back around these sermon topics over and over, where you can get that message delivered, have the Holy Spirit do the work, have the people be discipled, and to where they understand in today's language what the gospel of Christ was about.
Now going on, we also have, like, for instance, on this show, Christ Today, we have an actual website that you have archived the Christ Today interviews. And so if somebody wanted to go on to the Christ Today website.
Yeah, christtoday.org.
Okay. So they would be able, by the file number, which is really a date of the actual No Kidding interview, they could actually double-click on one of those and bring it up and listen to the actual interview that is archived on the station servers. Okay,
they could. So, yeah, they could.
So if let's say a pastor, for instance, one of our sponsors, let's say Pastor Mark Hicks wanted to go ahead and accomplish this for his particular church, which is Calvary Christian Fellowship over in Oroville. So let's say Pastor Hicks goes ahead and sends out a message for Sunday, sends the message to you, you could actually archive that in his own personal archive that people could then, hey, I really like, you know, Pastor Hicks' message. Let's go back and see what else Pastor Hicks has to say about other topics.
Oh, absolutely. And we work in a lot of different ways for different churches, so each situation is unique. Definitely for a church that doesn't have a website, we would be happy to help to archive and podcast those services. And I still believe that the main ministry impact is by going over the airwaves. But you do have those people that maybe they heard something and it meant something to them and they think their sister needs to hear it. They might email their sister a link to the podcast. So we're actually doing both the work of broadcasting a live service and also podcasting and archiving the service for later, so that when somebody's searching on Google for a sermon, they might pull up the church as well. So in a way, we're kind of contradicting ourselves by doing both, but in a way, we're also getting the best of both because we do have the ability to archive services. But so a lot of churches are doing their own archives and have their own website and have it set up just the way they like. And for that, we just pull the service off and broadcast it the way it is.
Oh, excellent. Now, what kind of service can you provide? Let's say somebody gives you a copy of their sermon or whatever. I know that over here in Christ Today, things don't always run right the first time. I know that we had a telephone interview a while back, and we lost connection, and we needed a little editing. But if you were to go on to the Christ Today website, and you actually brought that particular interview into your living room by way of your computer, you would hear the raw stuff. You would you would hear all the you know, stumbles and stutters and everything else like that. And of course, you do a great job in the editing process before you air things. Are you able to then take somebody's broadcast and then like, for instance, give the introduction, the voiceover that says, we're about to hear Pastor Hicks, or we're about to hear Pastor Hammond, or whoever, and you're able to introduce or even provide the contact information.
We are able to do that. Normally, I would like to have the pastor or a church leader do that themselves, because I feel like they know a lot more about the congregation than we do, or than somebody that might record a voiceover. So if it's the church secretary or someone someone that people are used to talking to anyway, I think it comes across a lot more naturally. But we are definitely, like I've been saying, we're willing to work with a myriad of different churches in different ways. So, and whatever makes the most sense for that church. It doesn't have to be in the same way as the last church that we worked with. And I would always recommend that they record their own intros, just to say, hey, this is Pastor Hicks. You know, this is why I like Oroville, and this is why God drew me here, and this is the reason why we have a church and the type of people that meet here. And now here's my sermon from last week.
Oh, okay.
It's very professional and very kind and courteous, and I think that people are so much into building relationships that they want to get to know their local pastors. They want to hear, oh, that's why there's a ministry. Oh, I didn't know that. You know, it's painted green because his mother's favorite color was green, or that, you know, just little fun facts about Oroville, about the churches, about the community. And just to realize, because so many things have happened in the Christian community that aren't great. So we see so many TV preachers, and there's kind of a stereotype on pastors that they live this lavish lifestyle, and understanding that, no, that's not the majority, and that most pastors have a real heart for the community and want to see Oroville or Chico or Paradise. They want to see the city grow spiritually. And they're not inward focused, but they're outward focused. And a lot of people would be more likely to go to a church like that, where they say, well, it's not all about him. It's actually about the gospel. And unfortunately, there's some stereotypes like that in the media and in the Christian community.
Well, and that's why I think that this is such a great opportunity, not just for the pastors around, but maybe for those people who they know pastors or they know churches, have a good word. You know, they'd love to hear a little bit more from some of these pastors that, hey, I visited, you know, this pastor, or hey, they had a guest speaker and they were just awesome. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we could go ahead and hook up, you know, some of these guest speakers and follow them around for a little bit. And, you know, this is for the body of Christ a very, very exciting opportunity to multitask here, where we're getting a pretty good handle on, you know, some of the internet resources that are out there. Because in the churches we have a variety. Some churches have a variety of people that are sitting in their pews. Some are strong in some areas and some in other areas. And we have some real, no kidding, IT guys out there. They're IT professionals. They have regular IT businesses. And then you have congregations that not so much. They may have a lot of construction experience maybe, but they lack the IT, you mm-hmm. know. And this is an opportunity to really allow everybody to share everything that the body of Christ has.
And you wouldn't believe the number of churches that I've been to where they're just lacking a good sound guy. They don't understand that the pastor's microphone's turned up way too loud, or that nobody can hear the worship leader because it's too quiet. And that kind of ties in with the IT aspect. So if you need a good sound guy, it's probably a good idea if that sound guy knows how to record your services and knows, you know, they can tell when the microphone is clipping so because it's turned up so loud and it's all distorted and nobody in the audience can really understand the words.
Well, and that's one of the things that obviously the pastor is going to have to understand. If they send you a CD and you can't, mm-hmm. you can only understand one in every five words, that's going to be a problem.
It either sounds like you recorded it on a speakerphone or a loud system or something just too loud for most people to listen to. But we can do what we can, and I do, like you mentioned, editing. I do try to do what I can, especially for a new ministry, when they're just getting used to the equipment, to do some editing and edit out pauses and make them more comfortable. But then once they get going and they're comfortable with it, I really can't sit and spend hours listening to every individual program.
Now, what about some thought that just hit my mind here? I know that's dangerous, but just had a thought that said, you know, there are a lot of new things that come along, and a lot of pastors may be immediately resistant to something that's new, mm-hmm. based upon the fact that in change, everybody, there's a tendency, just like right after 9/11, everybody froze. I mean, literally, everybody froze. And for an instant, it was, am I safe? Okay, where is my place in the new normal? Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think that pastors may have a tendency at some point to resist change simply because they automatically ask those two questions. Am I safe? Where is my place in the new normal? Yeah. What about where you have some pastors that say, well, I don't think this is a good idea because I don't want to lose any of my flock to somebody else? Is that really an appropriate response to this? Because, in fact, if you don't get involved, you have more of a chance of losing. And if you do get involved, there's more of a chance of, especially somebody who's now, okay, they may have lost a church and they're shopping around for a good, you know, a good church. Well, where do you start? Well, you better mm-hmm. start with who's preaching the word.
Mm-hmm.
If you have somebody who's preaching and there is a doctrinal problem with listening, you're not going to be able to receive what they have to say because you have a doctrinal issue. The internet, or rather the radio with an internet backup of let's hear more about what this guy has to say, that's a perfect way to shop, at least for the right word.
That's exactly right. And I was at a Christian conference back in February, and Rick Warren was one of the speakers there, and he came up to the podium and he said, there's a problem in America. And he said, it's not what you think. He said, there's a problem with the teaching of the unadulterated, undoctored word of God. And he held up his Bible and said that there's a crisis in the church, that the word is not being preached in an unaltered form. And then he went on to talk for half an hour about about how important that is to the body of Christ and Christians in general. And to answer your question, the main reasons the pastors are afraid to participate and to put themselves out in the marketplace of ideas is because the church is running on life support. And when the church is running on life support and there's barely enough, at least the way they're seeing it, and maybe that's God calling them to have faith, but the way they're seeing it, there's barely enough donations coming in to pay the bills, and they're just one bounce check away from having the lights turned off, and they're saying, we can't afford to do any other ministry. We can't afford outreach. You know, I've had pastors tell me either they had to get a new roof, they need to pave the parking lot, or they're saving up money for a new sign out front, but they don't have money for outreach. And that's that. It's ultimately comes down, even though we're believers, we can still be influenced by the enemy. You can still be influenced to do less, and you can still have Satan plant seeds of fear, which will cause you to not expand your ministry so that maybe 10 years down the line, that church doesn't exist because they didn't tell enough people they were there. And that's our job. You know, we don't have the pastors in here trying to do our job, and we're not trying to do your job, but our job is to tell people that you exist and to give them a sampling of your service.
Absolutely, and to point the direction, highlight those ministries that are out there. Let the ministry speak for themselves, but highlight that they exist.
You wouldn't believe how encouraging it is for a local congregation when they see two or three families coming in every week, and when they see somebody, and they're saying, where did this person come from to accept Christ? How are these people at the altar? And they don't know them, they don't know where they came from, but there's people that are being saved and their ministry is going forward and the word is being accomplished, and they don't realize that some of those people, some of those families came as a result of the sermon, and some of the other people and the other families came because somebody told them, hey, I think I heard about a church that's on the radio. And you don't realize the long-term lasting effects of just your name going out in the community and the word of mouth. You know, one way that I'll explain radio is that we're enhancing the word-of-mouth advertising that is already so effective. So we're giving people the ammunition so they can say, this church is participating in the community. Hey, Cousin Alfred, you should go check out this church because I've heard of them. And it's making your church relevant and making you seem like a real person. And I think we should tell people, if they're listening to this interview, how they can get a hold of us. The easiest way is just to type in KKXX and whatever If you're on Facebook, on Google, or whatever, you can find us that way. Just KKXX. We're at the top of all the searches there. Otherwise, you can give me a call locally at 894-7325 or send us an email, kkxxradio@gmail.com. And we'd like to communicate with any churches. And unfortunately, the enemy is spreading rumors that either the churches can't afford it, they don't have the budget, or it'll cause too much division, or any number of different fear seeds of fear that will cause a church to not do outreach, and they'll cause the church to ultimately shut its doors because people didn't know the church existed.
Let's go ahead and end with prayer, if you don't mind. Father God, in Jesus' name, we do thank you for this time, this fellowship. Lord, we do thank you for all the blessings and the grace and mercies that you have given to us, the protection, the provision. We thank you for your dear Son, your holy Son that died on the cross and to wash away our sins by his precious blood and to give us the hope of eternal life through his resurrection. And Father God, we do right now, we pray for the ministries that are around in this listening area. Father God, we pray that they would be encouraged, that there is help for them, help through this fine radio station and through these people that are trying to do their best to help the outreach to the lost. Father God, we pray, Lord, that you would take this program and these ministries in this local area and, Lord, lift up Christ Jesus high, that you might bring all men to him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, listeners. We've enjoyed you listening to Christ Today. We have our host, Mike Davis, and again, the guest, Andrew Palmquist, who is doing a wonderful job of operating the station. He is the station manager. Thank you, everyone, for your listening. And good day to you.
The fastest jaws in the world. Find out what has them on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moment host, Ian Taylor.
If an octopus thinks you have found him in his lair, he will squirt ink in your face and hope, in your surprise, you don't see him fleeing. On the other hand, challenge a bull, and you will have more fight on your hands than you can handle. Other creatures will evaluate the situation to determine whether fight or flight is the best response. The trapjaw ant has a unique approach to this problem of fight or flight. He can fight, flee, or do both at the same time with the same movement. This ant has a unique mandible or jaw that is the secret of the insect's response to a challenge. If the ant faces a threat and decides to attack, it will strike at the threat with its mandibles and, in the movement, propel itself up to 9 inches from the threat almost simultaneously. If the ant decides to flee, it simply does so by snapping its jaws shut against the ground and again propels itself several inches from the threat. Its jaw snaps closed at the speed of over 17 inches per second. While it is sometimes necessary to protect ourselves from earthly dangers through fight or flight, neither of these will work for the spiritual dangers we face. For those, we must trust the strong arm of our risen Savior.
To get a complete set of transcripts from Creation Moments programs, ask about the book Letting God Create Your Day when you visit us online at creationmoments.com or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. and join us again for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.